Mr. Sullivan.
Yes, Mr. Jackson. Good to bridge the divide between the mainland and Cloudlandia with you.
That is exactly right. Welcome to Cloudlandia.
Yes.
I saw that Babs posted up some lovely mainland pictures of your walk this morning, I suppose.
Yeah.
Did you go down by the lake? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because we had a lot of rain in May and June, and now we've got probably one of the hottest summers ever. And every day it's just in the 80s, you know, and unfortunately humid, you know, really humid. But, you know, it's great. We're near the lake and we always get a bit of a breeze.
Yes. Well, there you go. So
what would a breeze be in Cloudlandia? I'm trying to think about that.
Well, you know what? The great thing is that Cloudlandia is always temperature perfect.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the interesting thing, you know? I've noticed now that spending, you know, a lot more time in Florida in the summer. I'm not typically here in the summer. Mm-hmm. And, but I'm inside. And you realize all Cloudlandia is always, you know, my Zoom room is always the perfect temperature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
you know, it's
interesting. Room.
It's interesting that, you know, the technology that we utilize for doing Zoom and, you know, other forms of Cloudlandia, that air conditioning once was as rare and unusual a thing as what we're doing with communication technologies now.
Yeah.
You know, the whole notion of air conditioning, you know. And I once put together a little talk on the four things that changed America right after the Second World War. And mm-hmm. air conditioning.
I remember that.
Is one of the big ones. Yeah.
It's, cooling, refrigeration.
Well, air conditioning specifically, because you could move industrial work from the northern states to the southern states and to the far west states. And
but wasn't that one of them? Wasn't refrigeration one of them?
Refrigeration had occurred quite a bit earlier, you know, and you know, when I was growing up, we didn't have a refrigerator. We had an ice box, and the ice man came around twice a week and delivered big blocks of ice. And you put the big block, the existing block of ice would, of course, disappear. It would disappear. It would disappear, and then you put another block of ice in, and then probably, I don't know when it was, 52 or so, that we got a refrigerator. And, it's a farm. You know, we grew up on farm country, and they were, you know, probably later than city folks to adapt certain things. Yeah.
Yeah. So how was your week of workshops?
Oh, it was good. It was good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had two 10 times workshops and, of course, the free zone workshop, which, Mr. Dean Jackson was there.
That's exactly right. And that was.
Yeah. And how did you feel? How did you feel about that?
I felt great. It took a life of its own. It was really good.
Temperature
was perfect. It really was. Yes. I found, now this is an interesting thing. It's a perfect now substitute for or a alternative to the live workshops. I really, you've proven that, you know, I think everybody would agree that it was very valuable. Everybody, the consensus, even in the breakouts, was that the breakouts were better than in real life. But then, yeah, but again, what you miss is just the in-between stuff, the lunch and the running, talking in the hallways on breaks and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, I break workshop experiences as we had experienced them over the first 30 years. There's two parts of a workshop that's valuable, that which is taught and that which is caught, you know.
Yeah.
And the taught is what you can plan as workshop organizer. We'll teach this, we'll teach that, and we'll teach that. And then the, you know, the discussions regarding that material, the thinking regarding that material. But then the taught part is it's just chance comments, usually at break.
Yes.
Usually at lunchtime, before or after.
Yes.
And we try to, you know, with the free zone, we try to surround things with social events. The Sunday night dinner, where you've come many times, and then also the Monday night, Monday night party. And you know, what we've noticed is that the teaching part of it is actually, you can do a superior job with Zoom than you can in person. Okay, they're true. I haven't really gotten to the bottom of why that is, but that's been the consensus from our clients, that they really get things more precisely or more powerfully in Zoom. But it's the chance remarks. It's the kind of deep dive, just with a personal conversation with someone off to the side. That you don't have. So it's two worlds. It's a perfect example of the mainland and Cloudlandia.
Yes, I think that Zoom is going to have an opportunity to evolve. You know, to take some things, because what I think would be a really great thing is if you could look on the gallery view, see the people, and you could like tap and put your own group of four together to go have a little conversation, or you could almost like in a cocktail party where you could mingle around and then join in on a conversation or tap somebody, and you could be in a connected bubble that way, where you're having a you know, that would I think be a really nice thing, you know, where you could rotate around, kind of thing, you know, almost so that I think would make a big difference. That would make the breaks useful.
I think there's all sorts of experiments, you know, all sorts of experiments that'll come along. I think it'll be a lot of them won't work, you know, a lot of them won't work at all, or they'll, you know, they'll be dissatisfying. I mean, one of the things I like about it as a coach is that I was tempted during breakout sessions to take a break, you know, and go and talk with my team members, or you know, I would do something else. Yeah. But I've been in every single breakout group since we started doing this, going back
to
March.
You've been in the mix. You've just been, rotated in.
Yeah, yeah. And it's been enormously enriching for me, because I'm always getting new stories that I can then ask someone in the group to tell everybody in the general session.
Right.
The other thing is just ideas for new thinking processes for future for future workshops. So my creation of new material has actually sped up enormously, simply because, well, you know, generally speaking, in a 10 times workshop, I'm in, I interact with 15 people from beginning to end. And and it's been really, really useful for me, you know. And
that's great. I like that.
So it's really interesting, and it's so funny. Peter Diamandis was in on Thursday for his 10 times workshop, and he said that in Silicon Valley now there's just a spectacular outbreak of virtual companies, you know.
Oh yeah.
That you know, Zoom wannabes. I'll call them
right.
Zoom wannabes, or Zoom enhancers, or you know, sort of, and everything like that. And he says, and these will far overcome, you know, Zoom. They'll make Zoom. And I said, yeah, but you know, something. Zoom's got 360 million or 370 million daily users.
Yes.
And yeah. They're not looking for any innovations. You know, the 80 to 90% of Zoom users, they aren't really going to explore all the other things that you can do with Zoom because
right.
Zoom does enough. And you know, and so one of the things, it's an interesting study when somebody is just the right thing at the right time at the right place. They can get a very, very dominant position. And, you know, and I'm thinking about, for example, Windows and Apple, you know, the Apple. And, you know, I mean, you know, I know, everybody you talk to knows that Apple is a superior system to Windows. It's got more elegant features. It's elegant.
Yeah.
But the truth is, the vast majority in the world use some form of Windows.
Yes.
Yeah. And the reason is they were the right thing at the right time, at the right place, you know, and so they just get a dominant position. So my sense is that the Zoom is now the big gorilla in that era, in that area. And They'll have to really be clever to screw up their position right now.
Well, what I read an article that they are coming out with some hardware now that will be like a Zoom box or a Zoom screen that you actually is all in one, where you're the screen, the cameras, the microphones, the everything is in one thing, and that's going to be like a you know, very, very cleverly pointed at the corporate home workers, you know, that everybody can be connected through the things. And you know, that's it's Facebook has done something very like that, the portal that they have. And so I think this it's going to get better and better at the actual experience of it. But now the innovation comes in the uses. And I am going to, I'm pioneering something next month where instead of doing a, you know, one workshop in a 2 day, you know, condensed experience, I'm going to do a very specific topic over three workshops over 3 weeks. So it'll be, I'm going to do, because the thing that I find that can move the needle for people the most is the email lead conversion process. If you already got you're getting leads and you've got unconverted leads, that's where we can have the biggest impact right away. And there's a lot of people in that situation. And so we're going to start from the moment somebody opts in. And I've always said, like, one of the approaches I take to it is, you know, imagine that when somebody opts in for your Scary Times success manual, that as soon as they say, yes, send me my book, they're magically transported to your office and they're knocking on the door, poking their head in and saying, hey, I'm here about the Scary Times success manual. And what would that conversation look like, right? That's really the best way to get into this mindset of the conversational conversion process. So we'll start there and then go all the way through to the long-term nurturing of someone who's maybe not ready right now. Mm-hmm. And that mapping out all of those elements for
people. What weeks are those? Because I'm sure I won't be, because I'm at cottage and everything, but it would be really great if one of my marketing team could take part in all those.
That would be great. I'm going to do, we're going to do them on two afternoons, where we'll do, so we'll be able to do something, and then people get to work on that, and then come back, and then we can adjust, and then work again. So there's progress between the things. Rather than doing a full day, we do it over 3 afternoons.
I think that'd be great. And I think a lot of our listeners, you know, who are interested in that. Yeah. Any optimum size for this? I mean, that you're, in other words, above the sum, you won't have more than a certain number.
Right. We're going to do some, I think this would be similar to my Breakthrough Blueprint events, where we'll have
12.
You know, 12 would be probably the ideal. And that's so we'll see. And it's going to be
I would definitely have one of my team do it. And she's really, really, you know, she sucks the juice out of the learning lemon, you know.
The learning lemon. I love that. That sounds like a great domain name. If that's not taken, I better look into that. Learninglemon.com. That's good.
Yeah.
Suck the juice right out of it.
Yeah. And because we're doing lots and lots of improvement on our lead conversion right now. And I think that's great. That's a great thing. Yeah.
Perfect. So this is the kind of thing where
You just did a little market research on me. And
That too. That's true. You test your ideas on check writers, Dan. That's really
you do. And I could definitely write a check for that one.
So, but that thought came from, let's start thinking about what we can actually do using Zoom now, because what I've done for the past 5 workshops is I've essentially used Zoom to create a Cloudlandia version of a mainland workshop. And now what this is really is creating a Cloudlandia version of something that would be unfeasible on the mainland.
Yes.
Right, because nobody's going to fly to Florida for 3, afternoons. Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's going to fly to Florida 3 times for anything.
Exactly, and that's the whole. Yeah. That's the point now. So, and that way,
my main point, that it's the transportation system.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
yeah.
And so I like that. You know. And so then I think that opens up having specific skill sets where we can map out your referral blueprint, you know, to look in the after unit and just focus on that. And so I'm very excited about this, because that gives us the chance to really go deep on one topic, you know.
Mr. Jackson, this is all cheese.
It's all cheese. That's exactly what it is. That's right.
There's no whisker here whatsoever.
Yes. So I think that's going to be a fun experiment. Yeah. I just finalized the idea this morning. So August is going to be the experiment.
Tested it out already?
Already? Yes.
Yeah, already you've tested out on one check writer, and The only problem is I haven't provided you with any raw material between your offer and my yes.
That's true. Raw material. That's right.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I've been looking at two books in great depth, probably for one of them for about 6 months, the other one for about 4 months. And I've read each of them three times, and they're big books. Okay. And I'm a big book reader from birth. I've read a lot of big books. But these two in particular have really, there's something in them, and I keep going back for more. So, and one of them is The Disunited Nations by Peter Zion, and I've read it three times quickly. And his whole point is that America has been involved with the rest of the world for about a century, and America isn't interested anymore. America is going to come back and just pay attention to its own affairs. That's thesis number one. The other one is a book called Envy by a German writer who's dead, but his book was written 50 years ago, but it's been translated very recently into English. And he was saying that the two things, one is that all human beings have a capacity for envy, and that on the one hand, we try not to show it, and on the other hand, we fear that if we accomplish or achieve in a certain way, that other people will be envious of us. And he says that generally speaking, all humans have this. But he said the best people have learned how to turn what might be an envious thought into actually a form of self-transformation, where they feel sort of an urge to be negative towards someone else, and they take the negative thought and they transform it into innovation. So he said that the most constructive way of dealing with feelings of envy is actually to become an innovator, to actually innovate new things. And the other thing is that certain countries and certain cultures are better at handling envy than others. And he feels that the U.S. Has probably done the best job. And he quotes a line from Rodgers and Hammerstein's great musical Oklahoma, of the singer who's sort of the star of the play, comes out and he sings a song. He says, "Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way." And he says, only an American could sing that song. Only an American could write that song. And he said, because elsewhere, it would engender such envy and such negativity that the person would
knock him down a peg or two, right?
Yeah, get harmed by the day. And but it's very, very interesting, because my read on the present situation that's going on in the States today, with lots of negative movements, goes back to something in his book. And he said until the 1800s, there was no thought system that actually made envy a good thing. And that thought system was socialism. He said socialism is the first thought system that makes envy virtuous, that you should want other people to lose what they have. You should want people who have to have it taken away. And I was wondering if our Cloudlandia thing is producing such opportunity for innovation, and it's producing such opportunity right now for the inequality that comes with innovation. In other words, look, Zoom.
Yeah.
4 months ago, 10 million users a day. 4 months later, 350 million plus users today. So that probably creates enormous envy in some minds that produce enormous envy. And also that people who are Zoom good, you and I are both Zoom good, Zoom capable, Zoom, you know, Zoom excellent. We've shot far ahead of others who might have been in our own industry doing, you know, they were doing good at doing mainland work, and suddenly we've shot ahead into a whole new capability, and that creates tremendous unequality.
Right.
And so there may be part of the anger in the general, you know, in the general political world and the general social world is actually coming from a sense that certain people are just pulling ahead now because of this new technology. That's a thought. I'm putting a lot of thoughts together.
And there's a lot of evidence. You know, when you look right now, I've been fascinated by the all of the mainstream television shows that are doing some version of at home shows, like all the late night hosts are doing their shows from home, interviewing celebrities from home by Zoom or Skype. And you realize that it's such an equalizer right now that you and I, we have the technical capability to do exactly what any of those celebrity, mainstream people are doing. We could do exactly that same thing. And now it truly does become who's got the best ideas for this, you know? That's really where the innovation is. What is going to gather the attention of your other Cloudlandians, you know?
It's really interesting. You know, I was just thinking kind of the situation that what used to be the object of envy was visible, you know, material, or it was out in public, or it took place in a social setting, or it took place in a political setting.
Or a physical setting.
But if I'm in Winter Haven right now, and I've heard there's a guy named Dean Jackson that lives in Winter Haven, Florida. But, you know, something, I don't think he's doing anything these days. I haven't seen him in 4 months, you know. I've been walking around the neighborhood there, and I just don't see him. So I think he's been hit hard during this period. I used to fly a lot, and you know, if he's having a bad time right now, well,
yeah, he was constantly on the go.
Because I'm feeling okay that he might be having a bad time, because I was heard that you know, he was kind of getting ahead of himself, and this is kind of brought him.
Flying around all over the world, thinking he's better than us.
Not that I would ever tell anybody that I'm having these thoughts and feelings, but I just think, you know, he's just disappeared. And I've noticed a lot of other people have disappeared. So here's a big thing. If you're great in Cloudlandia, only the people who probably like you know about it.
That's true, isn't it? I mean, I like this so much, Dan. I just thought about when you were talking about that, physical things, right? Like, so I bet there are a lot of people, Dan, who come through Strategic Coach at some point, go to Chicago or Toronto to your beautiful workshop spaces, right? Your offices are stunning. For if there be the envy of any coach who wants to do, like, boy, I wish I had offices like Strategic Coach. And now, you know, the reality is that in Cloudlandia, everybody's got the same opportunity, the same workshop room.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, like, you talk about the dematerializing, you know? It's like office, workshop rooms, board rooms, workshop space, all of the material things that are required to do a workshop type of business are gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is amazing times right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's very, very interesting, and it's like the, you know, and I've really taken a look at a lot of, you know, what I would consider sort of similar breakthroughs, big things that happened, you know, in the, you know, in history. You know, I've always been very, very interested in history, and, you know, you think about, you know, how printing all of a sudden changed the world, and certain individuals became very adept very early at, you know, being profitable with printing, being persuasive with printing. Yeah. Others were still caught up in a previous way of doing this or not doing it, you know, because it introduced new ways of doing things, but it also introduced things that weren't even being done before. And they, although they're very different, and I don't think it's really predictable how they're going to turn out, the negativity that comes along with that is predictable, because if you're feeling negative, it's for three reasons. One is you've just been cut out.
Yes.
You've been left out, or you've mm-hmm. been left behind. You've been left behind, and your sense of security about the future, your sense of status about the future has just been threatened. You know, you're experiencing, your D is a lot bigger than your O and S, you know, and your dog.
Yes. Yes.
And so what I'm feeling is that there's a lot of people who are bothered right now. You know, in that exercise I have in coach called not being bothered. And mm-hmm. I said, they're being bothered and they're blaming their bother on this and this and this. But the bother may be coming from a completely different place. In other words, that people are bothered about gender inequality or, you know, race mm-hmm. inequality or political inequality and everything else. But I say, I wonder if maybe they're picking these things out because they have to focus their attention on something. But I'm wondering if there's just a big general disruption that's happening as vast numbers of activities are moving to Cloudlandia from the mainland. Yeah. And they leave behind things that are clearly not as good. They leave behind things that are failing, that are not profitable, not productive. And people are just feeling bothered, but they have to blame it on something that they can see. But the problem is mm-hmm. you can't see Cloudlandia unless you're using it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's the whole thing. It's like the... like the fish in water, right? How do you feel about salt living in all
water? How do you feel about water? What's water?
What's water? Exactly. Oh, man. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, I was telling, you know, if you really, really want to control the seas, don't focus on storms. Focus on the current.
That's a smart thing. That's really, I mean, I'm noticing now just the everything's rushing to, you know, making things as easy as possible. Like it truly, that convenience is, you know, a couple of years ago when I mentioned to you that article that I saw in the New York Times about convenience as the most underrated force, you know, that our desire for it, our seeking it. I was looking at Toronto Life website the other day because I was, you know, right now I should be in Toronto, and I was kind of, you know, missing my Toronto experience in the summers. And I, so I went to Toronto Life just to see the what's going
on.
Well,
can I relieve you any kind of tension you might be feeling? There is no life in Toronto.
Oh, you see, that's it. Oh, that's funny.
They just announced that no baseball games will take place in Canada.
Not
one Major League Baseball comes back. No Major League Baseball will happen in Canada. They just announced that. Well, that's a way of announcing that there's no life in Toronto.
Right. Wow. One of the articles that I saw, though, and this is one of like a trend of them, that there are companies now that are putting together everything you need for your backyard barbecue. They just deliver you everything already marinated and a kit, exactly, with everything that you would need, the buns and the sausage or the ground beef or the steaks or the, you know, vegetable kebabs that are already marinated with all the sauces and the spices, everything that you would need for that. And you start to see it's really getting that way. With everything, there's another company that's offering pre-packed picnic baskets for you that you could pick up at, like, you know, like a Pusateri's type of, pick up a picnic basket. And, you know, that's only one step away now for on Airbnb, somebody having a picnic experience, combining the Domino's hotspots idea, that they could map out all the best picnic spots in the city, and you could, you know, on demand order up a picnic to this spot in the park. And that's kind of I see that as a nice potential app for someone in Toronto to follow through on. But, you know, that's kind of where everything's going, is all of these collaborations, you know, that allow cooperation between different providers of things to deliver the result. You just start to see this army of the mainland there's now, it's almost like you need air traffic control to see this army of, between Instacart and Grubhub and DoorDash and Postmates and Deliveroo and Uber Eats, all these network of people just going around the streets delivering.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. Interesting. The Wall Street Journal yesterday had a article in its business. I have to tell you, talking about mainland things that are still really great, is the Saturday edition of the Wall Street Journal. It's the finest newspaper that I've ever seen in my life. And, the front section is always good. You know, it's the news of the day, and they have really well-done opinions and really well-done columns. But then they have a section on review, which is just this marvelous adventure of something that you wouldn't know about. So there was an article about the difference between personality and character, and that people are striving to find something that's constant. And this person just gives sort of a history of kind of this difference of that. And another one was the surprise election of Harry Truman in 1948, nine out of 10 of the polling companies. It was in the bag. One of them didn't even do polls for last week because there's no possibility that Truman could get elected. He was the sitting president, but he was, you know, he was predicted to be defeated. And they just give those really, really great. And it's just thing after thing after thing. And they're all really interesting articles. You know, mm-hmm. famous authors gives his five best books for a particular great stories that happened in prison. And then he gives them and I read them. I said, yeah, it sounds interesting. Really interesting. But anyway, but the article in their business section yesterday was really, really interesting. What's going to happen to the stores? What's going to happen to the stores? Because a lot of the stores were closing down. Brooks Brothers just went out of business. Brooks Brothers went out of business. What do you do with the, you know, the Brooks Brothers store? It's right in Yorkville. It's, you know, right on Bloor Street. Goes through to the back to Yorkville Avenue, you know. They said, well, the Amazon will just take it over and they'll use it for warehousing. That all these empty stores. The delivery places, the people who deliver things, you order it by Cloudlandia, they would like to have mainland places that are close to you.
Yeah, that's what I did read, that they're taking over malls.
I'm not saying that Amazon
shopping malls.
I'm just taking this as an idea.
And of course
you could have pickup there too. I mean, if you wanted to pick up like shopping malls, you could have pickup. One of the things I've noticed, you know, we're in stage one. I don't know what stage we're in. Canadians have a thing about what stage we're in. I think we're in stage three, and where you can have a small party. You can have a small party, you know, like you can, people, you know, if they're okay with you, you can have can't have more than 20.
Yeah, because you're only going to get COVID from strangers. That's the thing. Right. I get it.
You know, it's hard. Well, you know, I mean, they're negotiating as, you know, it's ideology negotiating with reality there.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'll give you one of those, but I want to take, you know, it's kind of like you can see this negotiating going on. But the thing that I found was that I don't know what the city has done here, but they've given a massive amount more rights to use the sidewalk as an outdoor restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So about half the sidewalk space now is taken up with chairs and seats and umbrellas in restaurants that never had any kind of outdoor thing.
Now have outdoor space.
And fortunately, they have a summer that supports that. You know, it's been a great summer for outdoor. But it's really, really interesting. Would you rent part of a park for a picnic service, you know, like that.
I think that's a great, I mean, I've thought about that as an idea for a long time. Now it's becoming
like a pop-up, you know, you have pop-up picnic.
Yes, exactly. But imagine you could push a button and, you know, in comes a table and chairs and a picnic basket and the plates and whatever you need. Somebody set it all up for you there to have a nice picnic. Or you could have, that could be the deluxe version, or you could get a blanket and the things. But whatever you wanted, you could have that. Mm-hmm. Or I mean, it's yeah, it's kind of there's so much room for innovation now, and it moves so quickly. I mean, you've seen how the everything's evolved. It wasn't too long ago, Dan, that we were talking about the idea of the ghost kitchen, the ghost restaurant. that was like caught me by surprise. Nobody knew what that was, right? That, wait a minute, you mean they're not, they don't even really exist? And now that has like fast forward evolved to, you know, now that's like the whole thing, even that Travis Kalanick from Uber is all in on cloud kitchens, you know, and they're reconverting storage space into these, you know, this centers of things, moving the food closer to people without all the expense of the, without all the stuff. It's just
and using convenience stores also for delivery, you know, that
for groceries. The ice cream now project
ice cream
with
now.
Lever Brothers, that whole that thing of what a brilliant insight of let's just collaborate with people who've got cold storage, freezer, so we can just stock our ice cream there.
Well, it's going to be interesting. One of the things that I'm looking to see what happens here is what happens with car traffic. You know, my sense is that that vehicle traffic will be the same as it always has been. But it's going to be different vehicles, the composition of what the vehicles. And my sense is that individual personal cars will be down by 30%, and commercial vehicles will fill whatever those vehicles are down, you know, at 30%.
I think that's true. Yeah.
Because people will be at home, you know, 30% of the commuting population will not commute every day. They won't commute every day. But that'll mean that you've created a vacuum, and that vacuum, my sense, will be filled by delivery drivers, you know.
Yeah, I just, or automated vehicles. You know, I look at it
Tesla. Yeah. But do you see any increase in that? I see absolutely no increase in that whatsoever.
They just did another update on. So I have a Tesla, of course, with the full autonomous package, right? So I have it for when it's available. They just did an update on it now where it will recognize stop signs and traffic lights in beta here. So.
Yeah.
That's the,
I think the problem is the problem isn't technological; it's legal liability. I think that's the
So they've
because if there's an accident, is it your fault or is it Tesla's fault?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I think I think that's the thing. They've got to get enough mileage under the way. I'm in auto drive mode at all times, basically, you know, whenever I'm going, if I navigate to where I'm going and it is doing all of the driving, I stop at the stoplights. I have to make turns. But other than that, I don't have my feet on the pedals. I don't have my, I just have my hands loosely on the steering wheel, but it's doing the driving, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, it's learning, and I can already tell. I've had it, you know, not quite a year, but I can tell already with each update that it's getting better at the, you know, at a much more natural, like it's taking the turns and curves and, you know, some, you know, 90 degree curves and stuff around, on some of the roads that I go on, and it's taking them, it's very confident and smooth in the way that it goes around those. And, I'm encouraged by it, you know, I think that's gonna happen. But at the same time, I've I don't think on average I've been in my car one time a week in the last, 90 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like ours. I mean, we have the same model that you do.
Yeah.
The same Mazda. And in the city, I think Babs has used it three times since March. And we went to the cottage, you know, and we're going to the cottage. But there's
do you use the auto drive on your way to the cottage?
No, it's it's not legal in Canada. You can't.
Oh,
do it in Canada.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It's not legal in Canada. And you know, the Canada always uses the U.S. as its R&D lab. You know,
uh-huh, I mean, right?
Yeah. So they watch and see. Of what? And there aren't that many of them here because the moment that they got rid of the subsidy and the new government came, first of all, it was an Ontario thing more than any, you know, none of the other provinces really had big sales. And when the new premier came in here, he just ditched it was like $14,000 subsidy to buy one, you know. And he just ditched it, and the sales just dropped off to nothing, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so, and there isn't, you know, that's why I'm saying I'm not seeing the critical mass. I know it's possible, but I'm not seeing any, and I don't see it written about. I don't see anyone.
No, I think you're right. Like, that's been the two things. If you look back at A360, at Abundance, the things, when we first started talking about, self-driving cars. How many years has Abundance been now? Seven?
Yeah, we're going into our ninth meeting, actually.
Okay, so I've been in for seven. And that is, that was, you know, a big topic then. And I think it's made marginal improvement since.
Yeah.
Then, in terms of progress towards a self-driving future. And VR has been another one of the things that has really been
I mean, VR as it's presented there, you know, where you'll be in the place. And I'm just keeping that in mind when I'm doing the Zoom, Zoom is kind of an 80% that is like 100% good enough. You know, it's kind of like 80%. And I don't require that my entire, you know, that we reproduce the strategic coach workshop. Like you feel like you're in the strategic coach workshop. I don't think we did that. And I don't know if that's going to be a big deal that you have to be there.
I don't think so either because I think,
you know, it's not real. I mean, first of all, you know, it's not real. And it's like, when I was on the farm, I used to take, tree trunks, tree branches, and I'd turn them into guns and I'd take all sorts of materials and I'd create my own toys and everything else. And then on Christmas morning, I'd get these great toys and really exciting for about half a day. Then in the afternoon, I went out and played with my sticks again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And
the perfect thing is,
I'm not sure that we require that. That complete reproduction.
You're right. It's the perfect example of the 80% approach that the, Zoom in the gallery mode, in the speaker mode, I think it's just the perfect balance. When you're in gallery mode, you can see everybody. When you've got 10 or 12 people, you can see the whites of their eyes. When you're at four people, it's like you're really sitting across the table from them. And when you put it in speaker mode, it's like you've got the full attention and showing the screen, all of those things. I don't think that adding any amount of complexity to get the next level.
Well, first of all, there's just, There's just a sheer
would be worth the squeeze.
There's just a sheer electricity issue. I mean, just the amount of electricity you need to reproduce, you know, and it's mostly lost on people. You know, one person say, gosh, this is really great, but most people, and my feeling is there's a line where it's enough electricity to get the optimum, the optimum satisfactory result, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and the other thing, like I've had 50 and 60 person workshops this week, and first thing I do is I go on, you know, and then, you know, and as people are, Kathy Davis is my workshop manager for most of them, and she'll talk people through and, you know, what we're going to do. And meanwhile, I'm flipping to the other rooms. You know, I'll flip to room number two to see who's there. I'll flip to number three. And I write down four or five names. And then when I'm doing general discussion, I'll just say, somebody who's in room three, I'll say, Jack Morris, what do you think about that? You know,
right.
And it's kind of funny because Jack Morris isn't on my page, but he pops up immediately on my page the moment that, that thing. And it took me a while to get used to do a walk around. I call it a walk around. I do a walk around and I walk through all and see who's there and everything else. But then I'll pick four or five people to let them know that I'm fully conscious that they're there, you know, everybody, I love everybody. And it's a little, you know, a little thing that I picked up. I wasn't doing it at the beginning, and now I do it as a matter of course. So I've learned, you know, there are Zoom tricks, and that's a Zoom trick. Yeah, yeah. It's very, very interesting because the big issue here is, for all this is electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And here's something that, you have to come to grips with.
It all comes down to the moral case for fossil fuels.
It all comes down to the moral case for fossil fuels, and who's got almost almost unlimited fossil fuels?
Mm-hmm. Boblandia.
Well, which country has fossil fuels?
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. U.S.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. Which means that the U.S. can make this transition to Cloudlandia much more easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you looked at it right now, if you took those 360 million Zoom users, daily Zoom users, who are they? I bet you're going to just see an enormous number of them are Americans.
Mm-hmm. I bet you're
and
right.
If they're not Americans, they're talking to Americans.
Mm-hmm. There's Americans involved some way.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think it's a thing that Americans, by their DNA, are pretty good at this because they're the most adventuresome consumers on the planet of trying out new things. And the other thing is big spaces. The U.S. has big distances, you know, to make up for. So if you can't do it with a plane, you got to do it this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's exactly the same. You know, it's instant travel to even the farthest reaches of Cloudlandia.
Yeah,
the
instant
farthest
travel.
Reaches of Cloudlandia are instantly accessible.
Yeah,
that's profound. You know, when you start thinking about that, that's really the that's time travel.
That's time travel. Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah, it is. And it's kind of good enough right now for it's good enough for dreaming about big things.
Yes, that's exactly right. There's no friction in Cloudlandia.
It's good enough to dream about consecutive Tuesdays, three consecutive Tuesdays, a brand new intellectual capital product that I can put out.
Yes.
I'm excited about that. See, it's good enough for that. And if it's good enough for that, it'll be good enough for the next thing that you think about.
That's exactly right. I think it's, because that's going to be the, an immersive experience that those collective three Tuesday afternoons are going to be more valuable than two full in, you know, compressed days in a local, in a locality. So,
yeah, I was reading about that in the Second World War. The Germans really focused on superior technology. Like their tanks were the just, you know, the tanks were just incredible and great tank drivers. So the Americans come into the war, they don't have those great technologies. They don't have a tank that can match up with the German tanks. So they just came up with this rule. But what the Americans were really good was radio technology. Americans were really radio technology. And so what they did is they say, we'll just match what one of their superior tanks with five okay American tanks, but have superior radio technology. So the five tanks operate as if they were a tank. Okay. And then it was just mm-hmm. 5 to 1, 5 to 1, 5 to 1, 5 to 1. And the U.S. could produce a million tanks. You know, they had no problem producing the tanks and everything like that. So they got really good at just, you know, kind of snaring a lone Nazi tank. And they would come at it from five different directions. And three of the direct, you know, and from behind, they were very vulnerable. Their gasoline tank actually wasn't armored. So the tank would just sneak around the back and just knock off, you know, they would explode the gasoline tank while the tank is dead. But it's very, really interesting. They were good enough. And they just thought about it. Well, it's actually operating as a team with five. No German tank can match us operating with five. Yeah. So I was just thinking about that. It was good enough, you know, And, mm-hmm. it's... good enough technology. It's an interesting thought. Good enough technology.
Yeah. I think that's great. The other, like, you know, a lot of this stuff, any next level of advancement is, as we've often said, the juice is not worth the squeeze. You know, the extra that you're going to get is not worth, you know, even looking at the Zoom, you know, 3D kind of thing, if it requires putting on an apparatus or wiring multiple cameras or doing anything like that, it's not worth it.
Juice is not worth a squeeze. That's
right.
Bodleian there. Yeah. But the real issue is electricity. I mean, the thing that you have to look here at, the thing is how much electricity do you have, and can you keep increasing the amount of electricity without it becoming too expensive? You know, that's really the issue here. So, anyway, it's fascinating. Well, you know, we're firmly into Welcome to Cloudlandia podcast, and I feel very satisfied by this one.
I do too. This is, there's infinite runway of opportunities here. So I'll let you know how this goes. I'm going to launch out today.
So if we have someone get in contact with you tomorrow to get ourselves in, who would we do that to? What would we say in the URL?
So we would send to me, Dean, at deanjackson.com. Send me, say, email workshop. That's the one.
Email workshop.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm excited.
I'm all over it.
Good. Well, I will talk to you next time.
Yeah, it'll be 2 weeks because I'm at the cottage next. And,
okay, perfect.
Cottage is totally a mainland experience.
Absolutely. One of joyful mainland experiences, too. Thanks, Dan. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.